Alright, where the hell's my material? I know I have some shit somewhere. Oh, shit. I gotta go to the grocery store today, too. Why? Damn it, Randy. Why are there only 24 hours in a day? I think it's like a conspiracy of the patriarchy or something. I mean, it can't possibly be my fault. Actually, it probably was heterosexual white men who decided that there would be 24 hours in a day. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and moan. Look for a safe space. You can indeed shove your opinions up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget my friends and my enemies, boys and girls. The third and final possibility, you are wrong and I am right. I am Great One himself. I am the founder. You can go fuck yourself. Oh, are your feelings hurt already? Excellent. Well, we're going to get hurt even more as we journey forth today right here. And where are we, you ask? Well, where we are is Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on destroy stupid motherfucking status all around the world. The fucking cruise missile of my intellect. It can travel around the globe. Borders can't stop it. Fucking international, fucking national, fucking no-fly zones can't stop it. Motherfucking black holes can't stop it. Motherfucking ion storms can't stop it. Nothing can stop the cruise missile of my intellect. Go fuck yourself. Greetings. Today is 19th of September, 2016, the year of our Lord Hussein Obama. He's been president for 8 years. We have change now. Everything has changed. Everything is different. Poor people are no longer poor. Rich people are no longer getting richer. The corporations are paying their fair share. I just read how Bayer, like the corporation that makes Bayer aspirin, Bayer has purchased Monsanto. Yeah, so yeah, the corporations are in decline. Yeah, the GMO food's not happening anymore. Oh, yeah, everything is now that 8 years of a half black president, everything is just wonderful now. Oh, it's so great to live in this utopian paradise created by your Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, who was elected and who brought the change. Oh, there's so much change. So much fucking change. The main change is it's 12 o'clock noon. I have a gin and tonic in my hand. We recorded one episode today already. Feeling good on a roll? I mixed this gin and tonic a little less strong than I normally do, because I'm going to try to make it through the podcast without falling over drunk. I really don't fall over drunk, just a joke. It is made, however, with Navy Strength Plymouth Gin, 57% alcohol instead of the normal 43%. Bang. All right. Let's kick these off. My 21-year-old granddaughter was... Oh, hi, I'm the Great One himself. I'm the founder. So thank you, Randy. Randy's like, wait, are you going to do the intro? I'm like, oh, fuck. All right, fine. In the control room, reminding me to do the intro, is the lovely and adorable Randy. She is seen by me, but not heard by you, the way women should be. Seen, not heard, and preferably in the correct position, which would be doggy style. I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 fucking years, 12-year anniversary in November. Oh, you have something to say. Just for, if you're new around here, let me just get this out. You have something to say? You have any feedback on this podcast? Well, let me ask you something. When you've been podcasting for 11 fucking years, you can send me some feedback on the podcast. Until then, you can go fuck yourself. If you want to send it, what do you call that shit? Feedback. Having too much fun already. If you want to send us some feedback, you want to send us emails, you want to send us love mail, hate mail, you want to send us naked pictures. I like naked pictures of cute girls. Randy likes naked pictures of hot guys. You can send naked pictures, preferably of yourself. If you're a really cute girl, send me naked pictures. I like that shit. Anyhow, you can send those to God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com. You can also just send fan mail. I know I still need to do a fan mail episode. I'm fucking worthless. I know that. The people who have been here for years, I wonder if there's anybody keeping track of all the things I say I'm going to do that I never fucking do. Because that would be a very long list. I was thinking just today, I had some Roosh articles that I wanted to talk about. And that was, you know, a year ago or whatever. There's just too much. Too many girls, not enough time. Anyway, Randy, whatever. Oh, the theme song is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album About Face. The use of the theme song from David Gilmour frequently gets my videos restricted on YouTube because of copyright infringement. Every once in a while, the corporation that owns David Gilmour's music, because it's not like he could own his own music, a corporation owns it, because, you know, you're free. You're free. The corporations don't control your life or anything. God, I gotta talk about the Star Trek Paramount fan film thing one of these days, too. Oh, God, fuck, there's so much to talk about. Yeah, the corporations don't own you or anything, but they own your music, and they own the drugs, and they own the food, and yada, yada, yada. Anyhow, on an on-again, off-again basis, my videos get restricted over on the YouTube thanks to copyright violations due to me using this music. You know, and it's one of those things. If I could figure out how to give the corporation some money so that I could use the music, depending how much money they wanted, I wouldn't necessarily mind paying for it. Again, the fact that the corporation owns Gilmour's music is kind of sad. But then again, Gilmour is a fucking billionaire and he signed the goddamn contract. So I don't really feel sorry for him. It's just the entire principle. Because I've in the past talked to other musicians and said, you know, yada, yada, yada. Can I... falling over sideways. Can I do such and such with your music? You know, I recorded you live in your concert. Can I put this on a website? And they're like, oh no, I can't tell you to do that because the recording company owns my music. I can't, you know, you can't do that. And it's like, really? You really? And these are like younger music. Like, you know, back when Gilmour and Pink Floyd were starting out, this stuff was sort of, this was the norm, right? So to sign a contract saying that a corporation owns your music back in, say, 1980 makes a little more sense, because in 1980, that's the way it's done. To sign a contract saying the corporation owns your music in the year 2010... Yeah, 2015, that's a little bit more insane and stupid, because that's just not the way it's done anymore. Anyhow, my 21-year-old granddaughter was being interviewed for a job. What would you describe as your weakness? She was asked. Her response was, shoes? She got the job. That was a joke. No, seriously, that was a joke, Reader's Digest. I want to have a kid the way other people own stock in Google. I don't want to be responsible for it. I just want to go to parties and talk about how well it's doing. That's also a joke that I read in Reader's Digest. The sad part is that that's exactly the way a lot of people do feel about their children. They don't want to be responsible for their children. They do, in fact, simply want to go to parties and talk about, oh, my child did this, oh, my child did that. But they don't want to actually invest any time in raising the child, taking care of the child, pay attention to the child, educating the child. They want the child simply because it is a way for them, the parent, to get attention. Favorite reason to loathe technology. I don't shop online because I don't own a computer. My belief is they haven't completed inventing computers yet. Why? Because they don't work. If they worked, not every business in the world would have a department to fix them. They don't have a department to fix pencils. It's an interesting thought. I can't entirely disagree. I spend plenty of time fixing my computers. Every company out there has an IT department devoted to fixing the computers. The computers work so fucking well. Do I want to do that right now? Do I want to save that? Yeah, I'm going to save that. I'm enjoying doing the articles. AMC toying with ideas it thinks will appeal to millennial audiences. Are we here already? Movie theater chain AMC Theaters, which operates the AMC Studio 30 Cineplex in Houston, may allow people to text during movies in a bid to appeal to, you guessed it, millennials. AMC Entertainment CEO Adam Aaron spoke to Variety, saying that the company needs to, quote, reshape, unquote, its product in ways that will attract millennials to go to the movies, much in the same way baby boomers do. Yes, you see, we can do like the music corporations and we can pretend that the internet doesn't exist. Or you could, you could recognize that people aren't going to go to the movies as much as they used to because, and then even for old people like me, there's this thing called DVDs, but nowadays there's this thing called Netflix streaming and all this shit. No, instead of just admitting that the product you have is not as appealing as it used to be, because there are things that have replaced it, you can do things like this. When asked if that will involve allowing texting or cell phone use, Aaron said, quote, yes, when you tell a 22-year-old to turn off the phone, don't ruin the movie, they hear, please cut off your left arm above the elbow. You can't tell a 22-year-old to turn off their cell phone. That's not how they live their life. Unquote. I would argue that a 22-year-old, who cannot turn off her cell phone for the duration of a movie is not living a life. This person is a zombie. This person is not alive in any reasonable sense. This person is not enjoying the world around them. This person is not interacting with other people. This person is an attention whore. This person is an individual with low intelligence and short attention span. Aaron is no fool, however. He acknowledged that other moviegoers will not be pleased with the plan and is considering either certain sections for texting or specific auditoriums that are texting friendly. We're going to have to figure out a way to do it that does not disturb today's audiences, Aaron told Variety. There's a reason there are ads up there saying turn off your phone, because today's moviegoer doesn't want someone sitting next to them texting and having their phone on. Aaron is new to AMC Entertainment in his 4 months at the helm of the company. He apparently has a, quote, willingness to experiment, unquote, according to the Variety report. Does that mean he's into pegging? For now, text-friendly theaters are not a reality, but could be coming up if Aaron has his way. If it does happen, the competition could have a field day advertising their throwback No Phones Allowed movie theaters. Hey, millennials, what's it like to be such fucking losers that you can't go 2.5-3 hours without your fucking cell phone? I mean, it is. It's patheticness. It's the need for the constant reinforcement and affirmation of who you are, and you need this because you know, truly, deep down inside, you know that you're nothing. You know that you're a worthless piece of shit. You know that you have no purpose in existing other than voting Democrat. What do we have here? I just have a pile of stuff in front of me. I'm pulling things off and going through them. I've already gone through and highlighted them and stuff like that, but I have no idea what's coming. I had like 7 drinks of gin and tonic and I already can't fucking talk. It's a good thing this isn't a podcast where speaking skills matter. Greenland ice sheet's sudden meltdown surprises scientist. Why would it surprise the scientist? Last week saw the Greenland ice sheet covered in a record-breaking level of meltwater for this time of year, according to scientists who monitor it. Researchers at the Danish Meteorological Institute found that a whopping, that's a technical, that's a scientific term. It's whopping. Right? What if I told you? You can tell science is not science when it uses these nebulous words like whopping. Whopping is not a scientific term of measurement. Say, whopping 12% of the ice sheet was covered in a layer of meltwater that was at least 1 millimeter thick. Such double-digit figures typically don't emerge until May, and the day before had seen levels of only 4%. This is, by the way, this is from April 17th, 2016. The numbers had some researchers feeling incredulous, according to an update posted on Polar Portal, a collaboration among several Danish research institutes. Quote, we had to check that our models were still working properly. God fucking damn it. Reading. It's so hard. Quote, we had to check that our models were still working properly. Unquote. Peter Langren, a climate scientist with the Meteorological Institute, said in the update. But their models held up. The scientists think the early start might be caused by warm air becoming trapped over Greenland and shedding rain along the coast. This weather pattern echoes one in 2012, which caused, what was it, the Earth supposed to end in 2012? This weather pattern echoes one in 2012 that caused what scientists call an extreme melt event. Again, there's these extreme. That's not a fucking number. That's not a measurement. That's an emotion. An extreme melt event in which almost the entire glacier was covered in some amount of melted water. Now, here's what's interesting. The meltdown surprised the scientists. They did not know it was coming. So they said, oh, we had to check that our models were still working properly. Then it says, but their models held up. Well, no, they didn't. If the model held up, if the model was reflecting reality, and if they are looking at the models, then they would not have been surprised about the amount of meltwater, because the model would have predicted the amount of meltwater they actually saw. See, this again, this is religion. Global warming is a religion. If the climate models are, first of all, if the climate models actually work, all the climate models would show exactly the same result. All the different climate models all have different results. They all show different things. That's your first clue. This is a religion. Second clue is that they say, well, the climate model held up. Well, if the climate model held up, if the climate model you have was accurate, if the climate model you have is accurate at predicting what's going to happen, then how exactly did you not know this was going to happen? Because your climate model should have predicted it. Seeing religious people try to cope with the fact that, well, not fact, seeing religious people try to cope with evidence that their religion is not true, that their religion is false, that their religion is emotion-based, is fucking hilarious. What do we have here? Oh, let's save that for a second. Here's something short. That's what she said. Bro Heslop. Brother Heslop. Brother Heslop was chosen of God to understand the mysteries, the mystery. Oh, fuck. Am I really not going to be able to talk for this entire fucking podcast? Deep breath. Brother Heslop was chosen of God to understand the mysteries of God. Come see God's anointed one, one that God has raised up to break the yokes and let the captive go free. Brother Vernon Heslop, seen Jesus. This is not me not being able to read. This is what it says. Brother Vernon Heslop, seen Jesus at the age of 12. Jesus opened up a Dead Sea Scroll onto him. Now, I know you're saying, no, hey, dumbass, you need to learn to read. It's a Dead Sea Scroll. They're scrolls, you moron, not a stroll. Stroll is when you walk by the Dead Sea. No? Again, this is not me fucking. I am reading what is in the newspaper article right here. This is not me fucking up. Jesus opened up a Dead Sea Scroll onto him. Jesus visited him again and sat down beside him and told him these words. I want you to go free my people because the other ministers can't free them because they are bound themselves by doctrines of men. Brother Heslop is not seeking for fortune or fame. He just wants to do the will of God. Come and experience the power of God like never before. Brother Heslop, love all, and all is welcome. Brother Heslop, love all is welcome. The event date is May the 13th and 14th at 7:30 p.m. in the Civic Center in Cleveland, Texas. God's word is free. Sounds kind of like global warming. The computer simulation visited us and told us these words. We want you to tell people about global warming. And the global warming wackos, they're not seeking fortune and fame. No, no, no. They're doing this for free. What do we have here? Okay, we can do this one. Pray to pay scheme bilks believers out of $7 million. Okay, what have I told you people? What I've been telling you people for years? Oh, I went. Oh shit! God dang it! You know what, Randy? I don't think this is in CLSology. I need to make a note. Hold on. Everybody deal with a second. I need to make a note. That definitely needs to be in CLSology. As I have been telling you people for how many years now? The reason stupid people have money is so that smart people can take it away from them. Washington state authorities have busted an internet pay-to-pray scam that bilked more than $7 million from people who believed the site would bring them health and wealth from God. And this is funny, but think about how many people out there like in the New Age wackoism thing that are doing exactly the same thing. Because you can find there's stupid people who are New Agers, there's stupid people who are Christians, there's stupid people who are Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, whatever. There's stupid people across the board. And those stupid people have money so that smart people can take it away from them. Now you may say to yourself, now great one, in Ancapidice, would there be consequences for stealing money? Well, say stealing. Well, all right, let me just keep reading. And as we go through this, let's answer the question, how would this be handled in Ancapidice? Christianity Today reports that from 2011 to 2015, more than 400,000 transactions took place over the Christian Prayer Center site and its Spanish language sister, Ora Con Cristiana, or something. I don't speak Spanish. I'm sure I mutilated the fuck out of that. The site featured testimonials, all fake, from people who claimed they had received healthy babies, winning lottery tickets, and clean HIV and cancer scans. So, in Ancapidice, can you put fake information on a website? Yes, you can. Of course you can. Just like right now, you can put fake information on websites. For example, go to CNN.com or MSNBC.com or FoxNews.com or CBSNews.com. Most of what you see is fake information. There's no concept. There shouldn't. You can put anything you want on the internet. It's up to the person reading it to apply critical thinking and decide if it's true or not. You can't. There's no way to fucking police to verify all the information on the internet as being true. Who are you people who go on the internet and you read something and you just fucking believe it? I mean, who are you people? Oh, you're stupid people. And you have money. And the reason you have money is so that smart people can take it away from you. I still don't see the problem yet. The photos of happy customers were stock footage, the magazine says. And Pastor John Carlson, who sent weekly emails and had a LinkedIn page, was made up. Correspondence was signed by the non-existent Pastor Eric Johnson. Washington Attorney General. So again, there's people on the internet. So there's some people on the internet who are fake. Really? Wait. Fake LinkedIn profiles? Wait. Sock puppet profiles on the internet? You mean everyone on the internet isn't completely real and honest about who and what they are? You mean there's fake people on the internet? No! There ought to be a law. Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson announced that the site's owner, Benjamin Rogovi, will be forced to refund his ill-gotten money to victims who apply for compensation by June 12th. Now, in Anacapadice, if you put up a website saying, you pay us money and we'll pray to an invisible man who lives in the sky and does not manifest himself in the physical cosmos in any discernible way, would somebody come along and force you to give people money back for that? And the answer is no. Because in Anacapadice, if people believe there's an invisible man in the sky, and if people believe that paying somebody else to talk to the invisible man for you, because, I mean, you can't talk to the invisible man yourself for free, right? I mean, the invisible man is all powerful, and he's everywhere, and he hears and knows everything, but you have to pay these other people on the internet to talk to the invisible man for you. No! No! In Anacapadice, he would not be giving money back to anybody. In Anacapadice, if you're that fucking dumb, that's fine! You give him your money, and he'll take your money, and he'll buy some shit, and it'll generate economic activity. There is no aggression here. There's no threat. It's not like taxation. He didn't say, give me your money and I will talk to God for you, or I will put you into a cage. Right? This is entirely voluntary. That is the key, my friends. If you're really fucking, if you're here and you're a statist and you're really fucking confused about anarcho-capital, this is the key. This is the key. Unlike taxation, this was entirely voluntary. The people who paid Benjamin Rugovi money, thinking someone was going to talk to an invisible man in the sky on their behalf, they made the choice to pay that money for this conversation between a third party and the invisible guy. They made that choice voluntarily. They were not forced to do this. Not like paying taxes, not like paying property taxes, not like buying a business license. They did this voluntarily. The Guardian, a British newspaper, reports that Rugovi charged between $9 and $35 for the bogus prayers. Now, the bogus prayers. As opposed to the non-bogus prayers. When you say these are bogus prayers, that somewhat implies there are non-bogus prayers to contrast them with. Who's making these non-bogus prayers, and what invisible entity in the sky are they being made to? Additionally, Rugovi bilked victims with two other fraudulent websites, the Christian National Church and the Consumer Complaint Agency. Oh, great. The Complaint Agency promised to hold businesses accountable to disgruntled customers for a $25 charge. Again, if you're dumb enough to fall for that, if I have an argument with Toyota, how is somebody going to hold Toyota accountable to my complaints for $25? How would you even possibly envision that's going to work? Quote, I believe in the power of prayer, Ferguson said. What I do not believe in and I will not tolerate is unlawful businesses that prey upon people, taking advantage of their faith or their need for help in order to make a quick buck. Unless, of course, those businesses are Monsanto, in which case it's completely okay. After the initial charge for the prayer, the magazine says customers were directed to a confusing web page, yeah, that's half of the internet, in which they had to opt out of an ongoing monthly payment plan for continued blessings. Well, again, the opt-out system, the thing where you sign up for something and you have to opt out, I mean, half the fucking things on the internet run on that concept. Once they get your fucking credit card number, they keep billing you and getting out of it. My fucking experience with Gavalia Coffee, I mean, Jesus Christ, you get out of that. Once they had my credit card number, and once they fucked up and pissed me off and fucking didn't send shit that I ordered but billed me for it anyhow. Like, you can't opt out on the internet. You have to actually... I don't remember if I really talked about this in depth. I know I mentioned it before on the cast. Anyhow, you know, I had the monthly, not monthly, but the reoccurring thing, and you could change the time frame, yada, yada, yada. And they sent me some shit, and they didn't send everything they're supposed to send, and they billed me anyway, and I sent them a message and said, hey, you didn't send this thing, can you send me the fucking thing? Like, well, you have to call us. I'm like, the fuck do I have to call you on the phone for, you fucking old people? I just sent you an email telling you that I'm not going to fucking call you on the telephone because you're lonely, you fucking old people. Have you heard of the internet? Have you heard of email? So I'm like, okay, I want to cancel my fucking account. So I go on the website, I'm looking, and finally I find it. It's like, oh, here's how you cancel your reoccurring charge. And I click on the cancel thing, and I go to, and it's like, you have to call us on the telephone. You cannot cancel on the internet. I'm like, Jesus fucking H Christ on a fucking stick. And finally, I fucking called them and had to go through, well, why do you want to cancel? Because you're a fucking idiot. Well, you can, yeah. And finally, I got it canceled. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Why do I have to fucking call you? And of course, the answer was so they could try to talk me into not canceling their shitty ass fucking service. So anyhow, yes, having to explicitly opt out. Welcome to the year 2016. That's how corporations do things. Why shouldn't this guy who's scamming dumb people who believe that paying for prayer works? Nothing wrong here in ANCAP Dice. It's up to you to exercise some common fucking sense. All right, here we go. Leonard Pitts Jr. If you don't know who Leonard Pitts Jr. is, he is a left-wing statist liberal Democrat, black victim of the patriarchy, who writes a newspaper column, and he probably does some other stuff too. Pitts Jr., winner of the 2004 Pulitzer Prize for commentary. He's still, you know, that's 12 years ago. He's still writing. What have you done in the last 12 years? Nothing. Columnist for the Miami Herald. With Trump, we can't let history repeat itself. And some blah, blah, blah that I'm not reading. Here we go. Once again, a clownish demagogue. He's comparing Trump to Hitler, of course, because we know everybody can be. If you compare somebody to Hitler, you don't have to have any actual sort of evidence or thoughts or anything else. Once again, and Leonard Pitts and I have a history. It's like every time I read something from him, it's fucking nauseatingly pathetic. I've read his stuff before because he is truly one of the stupidest people I've ever. I was about to say, I've encountered people whose shit I have read upon occasion. Of people like he's so stupid that his name sticks in my brain. I've read stupid shit by other people, like that person who wrote the thing on the internet, Obama is an enlightened being. But I don't remember this person's name. Leonard Pitt, I remember him. He is burned into my memory. He's that fucking stupid. Once again, a clownish demagogue bestrides the political landscape, demonizing vulnerable peoples, victim card, bullying opponents, oh, victim, how dare you disagree with somebody, encouraging violence, really, when has Trump encouraged violence? I believe it is the Democrats who have gone to Trump rallies and engaged in violence against Trump supporters. I do believe it is Muslims who have encouraged violence by shooting homosexuals and flying airplanes into buildings and blowing themselves up. I'm not aware that Donald Trump has flown an airplane into a building. I don't recall Donald Trump going into a gay nightclub and shooting homosexuals. I don't remember when that happened. Am I confused? And again, when people say to me, "The great one, you're anarcho-caveat, how can you say you're going to vote for Trump?" Again, this is why I'm going to vote for Trump. Because when someone like Leonard Pitts Jr., the fucking worthless scumbag piece of shit that he is, when he hates Donald Trump this much, this is why I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. This is why, in my wet dreams, Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, which is not going to happen. Hillary Clinton's going to win, guys. Hillary Clinton is going to win. I've made the prediction, 50 times now on this podcast, that I've actually said to you, Hillary Clinton's going to win. But this is why I would like to see Donald Trump win. Encouraging violence. Offering simplistic strongman solutions to difficult and complex problems. Oh, simple solutions. You mean like Bernie Sanders is just going to give everybody shit for free? Ah, it's just free, right? Free. About how Obama, I'm going to change things. Where's that? Got to be free healthcare. We're going to just close Guantanamo Bay. Nothing to it. It's just a simple. And men and women who bear more moral or blah, blah, blah. And men and women who bear more moral authority on this subject than I ever could see something chilling and familiar in him. I'm not actually sure what the fuck that sentence means. Quote, "I don't want to make any comparison to Hitler, but..." Remember, whenever somebody uses the word "but" in a sentence. So, "I don't want to make any comparison to Hitler, but..." What that means is, you want to make a comparison to Hitler. Remember, boys and girls, friends and enemies, anything you hear in a sentence prior to the word "but" is a lie. It is always a lie. It is a lie. That is why the word "but" comes after it. And when you say "the great one," does that include you? I say yes. Yes, it does. But when I use the word "but," no, it does. Everybody, your mom, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Hussein Obama, me, you, your girlfriend, your girlfriend's boyfriend, right? It doesn't, whenever you hear the word "but," everything prior to that is a fucking lie. Quote, "I don't want to make any comparison to Hitler, but believe it or not, his delivery and the way he conducts himself is very similar to Hitler's way of doing things. He discredits everybody who disagrees with him. Unlike, of course, Hillary Clinton, who's never discredited anyone who disagrees with her. She's never talked about a basket of undesirables or whatever the fuck. No, no. See, liberal Democrats never attempt to discredit people who disagree with them. That never, feminists never attempt to discredit people who disagree with them. Homo statists and the GLBTKKK never attempt to discredit people who disagree with them. No, of course not. Only Adolf Hitler and Donald Trump have ever attempted to discredit people who disagree with them. Hitler doing things. The quote continues. This is still the quote. "He discredits everybody who disagrees with him. He's insulting. He discriminates against everybody." So, quote unquote, so says Martin Weiss. He's a survivor of Auschwitz. He discriminates against everybody. Okay, if you're discriminating, my God, all right, so Weiss, I get it. You're in a concentration camp, and I'm going to be called anti-Semitic, but you're stupid. You're stupid. Okay, if you discriminate against everybody, then you're discriminating against everybody. That means you're treating everybody the same. Thus, you're not discriminating against them. In order for me to discriminate against, if I have a restaurant and I let white people in, but I don't let Jews in, and I'm going to pick on Jews because you're a fucking Jew, and I know Holocaust with a capital H, and oh, you're so fucking oppressed, and oh, fucking the Jew card, and all this other fucking shit. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, Martin. Okay? Maybe you shouldn't have survived Auschwitz. Just throwing that out. Go fuck yourself. Play your fucking Jew card somewhere else because it doesn't work here. If I own a restaurant and I let white people in, but I don't let Jews in, I'm treating the Jews differently than the white people. Therefore, I am discriminating against the Jews. If I have a restaurant and I don't let Jews in, but also don't let white people in, I don't let yellow people in, black people, brown. I don't let anybody comes in the restaurant. Nobody can come in the restaurant. No one. Well, I'm not fucking because I'm treating everybody the same. I'm not discriminating against people. I am treating everybody the same. You dumb fucking Jew. Play your fucking Jew card. Play your goddamn Holocaust card. You're a fucking idiot. Next thing is, so the guy was in Auschwitz. He survived Auschwitz. So what? How does that make him a fucking authority on politics? So I survived Auschwitz. Suddenly, what? That means your opinion on Donald Trump has significance? No, it doesn't. Surviving Auschwitz does not fucking grant you some kind of fucking intelligence or powers of observation greater than everybody else's. Surviving Auschwitz just means that your number didn't come up to get gassed before the, who was it? Oh yeah! Actually, if my history is correct, and I'm admitting I may not be 100%, I do believe Auschwitz was liberated by the Soviet Union. All you did to survive Auschwitz was just stay alive long enough for the Allies, the Americans, the British, the Soviets, to show up and fucking rescue your ass. If you're so goddamn intelligent that you can critique Donald Trump, why couldn't you figure out how to get out of a motherfucking concentration camp? Why didn't you have enough fucking sense? If you're so fucking expert, if you're such a fucking expert, when you saw fucking Adolf Hitler doing this shit, why didn't you get the fuck out of Germany? Why did you hang out? Why did you stay there if Hitler was so dangerous and you were so goddamn smart and you could see it coming? You play your little fucking Jew card. It's not going to work on me. Surviving Auschwitz does not make you an expert. It does not make you an authority. It does not make your opinion worth a shit. You're saying this because you're a fucking liberal Democrat. You want more free shit from other people. You're a fucking parasite. Quote, it is repeating itself, and it is again the inattention that people pay to real cues that one should understand. I think one has to speak up, and that's the lesson from the Holocaust. Do not be a bystander. Unquote. So says Margit Meissner? 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 I think it's Meissner, Margit Meissner, who fled occupied France on foot through the Pyrenees. Like Weiss, she spoke in January to Washington Post columnist Dana Milbeck. Hey, at least she was smart enough to run away from the Nazis. Martin just fucking sat there. How'd you get in the concentration camp? You weren't smart enough to run the fuck away. At least Margit, M-A-R-G-I-T, Margit. At least Margit was smart enough to run the fuck away. Then there is Eva Schloss, who in January said of Trump, quote, I think he is acting like another Hitler, unquote. Sloss, who spoke to Newsweek, was the stepsister of Anne Frank. Guess what? Being the stepsister of Anne Frank doesn't mean your opinion has any fucking value. What have you done in your... So here we got these people. So this Martin's accomplishment is he survived Auschwitz. So what? He didn't do that with any of his own ingenuity or fucking work or... I mean, all he did was fucking sit there. He didn't survive because he's special. He didn't survive because he's smarter than anybody else. Margaret, she's the smartest one. She saw the Nazis coming. She ran the fuck away. Which, you know, when the Nazis are coming, run the fuck away. That's what smart people do. So she's at least got some common sense, but that still doesn't mean her opinion is worth a shit. And then we got this dumb cunt, Eva. She's the stepsister of Anne Frank. Whoop-de-fucking-do. That doesn't make your opinion special. That doesn't mean anybody gives a fuck what you think. That doesn't mean you have some kind of special fucking insight into the cosmos because you're the stepsister of some chick who died when she was young and left behind a diary. All of this is an attempt to manipulate emotion because pieces of filth and shit like Leonard Pitts cannot make any type of actual intellectual argument against Donald Trump, which is terrifying because there are probably hundreds, I've said this before, any actual intelligent person, give them 30 minutes with the internet to do some research, could come up with 10 really solid, intellectually defensible reasons Donald Trump should not be president. But journalists like Leonard Pitts, they have nothing. They don't have a slightest fucking clue. All they have is Hitler. That's it. And that's the truly pathetic thing, is that the best argument they can come up with against Donald Trump, which is in fact an argument for Hillary Clinton, is Hitler. That's all they can come up with. That's how unintelligent, uninspired, how stupid, how pathetic these people are. They're so busy trying to get Hillary Clinton's cock in their mouth so they can swallow her cum that all they can do is just say Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. Can you really not come up with a really, truly good, logically, objectively, empirically defendable reason that Donald Trump shouldn't be president? And the answer is you can't. All you've got is your fucking emotions. That's it. You're a bunch of goddamn fucking losers. You're a bunch of fucking parasites. And if the government didn't keep you alive, you'd be dead. And I'm not finished with this, but we are finished with the episode. And so I'm going to finish it up in the motherfucking next one. So fuck you. And fuck your Jew card.